Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of insights and published magazines and broadcasts, where visionaries and those on the rise come together to create immediate impact. And I am so thrilled today because with me I have Christopher Van Buren. Christopher has been in publishing and online marketing for over 25 years. He's authored over 15 books and was the publisher and as well as a literary agent. He's also been the director of a really dynamic online ad network and partner in a boutique ad agency. He's the founder of Launch Moxie, a book and product launch management company. And Christopher, thank you so much for joining us today. I just can't wait for you to share your wisdom on everything that's going on with partnering and the idea of launching today in our rather complex internet world.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
So tell me, Christopher, how did you come about doing this as your great work? You've got just such a tremendous background, but what drew you to this?
Well, for the last few years, I had been doing online marketing in the capacity of a director of an online ad network, which at the time was a fairly classic ad network type of situation where we would have a number of publishing partners, and then we would go out and find the advertisers to fill the advertising space on those websites. So pretty much a classic online ad network type of situation. But we were a body, mind, spirit, vertical, you know, sort of boutique network. And we had our own challenges because of that, because at the time everybody was really looking for huge networks with, you know, very, very low-cost banner ad spaces. And we were kind of selling a premium. And so some of the things that I learned at that time were very key to what I'm doing now on how to attract the advertisers and how to make that work when we had a sort of a specialized, sort of high-value offering that at the time people weren't really looking for. Now it would be much better received, I think. This was back in 2007, 2008. So from there, I stayed in the body mind. I've been sort of related to the body mind spirit world for quite a number of years, and so being in that boutique vertical ad network was sort of a natural fit for me. From there, I went to the agency side, doing the same thing in the same kind of market, and I thought, how do I take these tools and these opportunities and these marketing concepts and sort of package them for the smaller sort of entrepreneur, because the agency was really working with, you know, corporate clients and larger entities, and so, well, how can we package this for the small person or for the author or expert? Because I come from publishing, so I always was very connected to that market, and that's kind of where Launch Moxie came out of, is it's sort of repackaging those same services and those same opportunities that we were doing in the ad agency business and the ad network business for larger companies, but packaging them for the smaller entrepreneur.
Well, that is just really so brilliant. So, Christopher, as an expert in this arena, what do you see really going on with online marketing today? And particularly, if entrepreneurs are just getting started, how would you suggest they go about breaking into all that's happening out there?
Yeah, it's a very volatile and confusing market. There's so much going on. It's exciting, actually. That's one of the reasons why I love it so much, is in so many ways, it's what's happening online. It's so volatile, and so, you know, 1 year is completely different than the year before, and so you have to stay on top of things all the time, and that's what makes it really exciting. It also makes it very challenging, especially for someone who's just getting into it and really isn't particularly an online marketer. They just want to use online marketing for their business. And one of the things that we're seeing now in this particular moment is a tendency for a split to happen where the online marketing opportunities are tending to look like either those driven by money, those driven by budget, and those not driven by budget. And in some ways, that looks like campaigns that are about moving your brand forward, which requires a lot of budget and doesn't necessarily always produce direct sales. You know, like a big brand like Coca-Cola or, you know, something like that, they might put out advertising not necessarily to earn money from those specific ads, but to just to push their brand forward, right? And that's an expensive endeavor. And on the other side of the equation is return on investment, and that's the smaller companies generally who are not doing branding. They need to actually earn money from all of their marketing efforts, and they need it to have a return. And so online marketing is kind of splitting between branding and ROI, return on investment. And so you see different types of campaigns going into those two kinds of camps. And for example, you know, what used to be called organic marketing, it's now just kind of all lumped under the title of SEO, search engine optimization. That tends to be used, it has been thought of as a return on investment because it's so inexpensive. You know, people can do it very cheaply. But in fact, it's really more of a branding opportunity because it takes so much time and it's such a passive marketing strategy. And so it's complex, and I try to simplify it basically by dividing things into four groups. There are basically four types of campaigns in these two different purposes, branding or return on investment. And the four types are basically paid campaigns where you pay for the opportunity, you know, like a banner ad or something, or a email list that you pay to get into. Performance advertising, which is when you pay a commission when you market, so you don't actually pay up front, you pay after sales are made. And generally the payment that you pay out is a little bit higher, but it's a lot safer. And then there's, like I mentioned, organic, which is usually very inexpensive except for the time it takes and the effort and energy it takes to do it. And that's like search engine optimization, social media marketing, viral video, those kinds of things. And then the fourth type, which I do a lot of, is what we call reciprocal marketing or exchange marketing, where you exchange a campaign or you exchange promotion with another partner. They promote you, you promote them.
So that's almost like joint venturing in a way from the standpoint of exposure.
Exactly. Joint venturing actually covers two of those four. It covers exchange marketing and performance, because your typical sort of affiliate market or your affiliate program is a joint venture type of program. You're working with partners who are then selling for you. And generally an affiliate program is something that you pay commission on. So that would be the performance type of campaign. And then the exchange campaign sometimes does not include any payment at all. It's just a one-for-one exchange. You promote me, I promote you. So
Christopher, do you feel that it's important to have both of the elements? Because my background is advertising and marketing as well. And, we used to call it image advertising. Do you think the idea of doing the more general image branding advertising along with the direct response advertising is an important combination, or has that changed for today?
It's very particular to what your goals are. I wouldn't necessarily say just a blanket yes or a blanket no. It really depends on what your goals are, what you want out of the campaign. If what you want out of the campaign is return on investment, so that every dollar you spend produces an income for you as much as possible, then I would say no, because that kind of branding and image campaigning generally doesn't have a direct return on investment. It has a long-term return on investment by moving your brand forward. But so if that's your goal, then I would say no. But if your goal is to not necessarily capitalize on every dollar you spend, but to build your business, then yeah, some combination of the branding and the direct sort of marketing approach would probably be a good idea.
So do you have any special recommendations for those just getting started? Is there something specific that you would guide them toward as far as action items?
Well, I would probably, have them, everybody has to get started somewhere, and everybody has to get started sort of cautiously, because, you don't want to spend a lot of money. Usually, just getting started, you don't have a huge budget, and you need to really make everything work. And I would probably, usually, depending on what the entity is, what the organization is, most likely recommend that they focus on return on investment types of campaigns rather than branding in the beginning, unless they have a particular reason for doing it the other way, which is fine. But in general, focus on the return on investment, which generally guides you toward affiliate marketing and exchange marketing, which is basically partner marketing. So I would say for most of those smaller companies just getting started, it's all about your partners. So focus on the partner marketing types of efforts, which takes you to affiliates and exchanges, joint ventures, we call.
So how does the partner marketing work exactly?
Well, in the campaigns that we've run, and they're fairly typical, I think, they're kind of a hybrid. They're a combination most of the time, not all the time. They tend to include aspects of exchange marketing and performance marketing. So they tend to have an affiliate kind of commission structure involved in them, as well as a reciprocation element to them. And so, and that's something that I always kind of look for and even recommend to people getting started in this partner marketing area, is to make sure that they try to include both of those, because partners and your joint venture partners are going to all be so different. It's one of the things that just doesn't seem to change is the variety and variation of their needs and wants and particularities. Some of them might have email lists that they work with. Some of them might not want you to be in their email list, but they'll put you on their website. I mean, everybody has their own little, thing. And some of them will put you in a newsletter, but they won't send out a dedicated email for you. But they'll do it together with other things. And everybody's particular about how they run their program. And so you kind of happen to know each of them well and personally and get to know them. So that partner relationship is really everything. And so coming to those relationships with a sense of reciprocation, what can you do to work with them rather than trying to force them to work with you or to fit into what you need, which is what a lot of people, you set up your program, you have your product, and you develop a partner marketing strategy, and you think, okay, I'm going to do it this way, and that, and you roll it out, and you say, this is how you participate. And a lot of times, that's really the wrong way to do it. Even though it sounds good, it's great that you've developed a strategy, but the strategy really needs to be more about how can you fit in with them, especially in the beginning when you don't have, the cachet to attract a lot of big names or that kind of thing. So you really need to kind of fit your program around them, and there's different strategies for doing that and making your campaign more flexible while still maintaining, the edge, so to speak.
Oh, I'm so happy, Christopher, that you really broached that subject about the contribution first rather than the asking, what's in it for me, because that's so important to find a creative way to be able to develop a relationship with partners. Thanks so much for bringing that up. Is there any other key elements to really having effective partner marketing?
Quite a few. I mean, it comes from, we kind of break it into three kind of key areas that you need to focus on and develop well, if you will. And they're pretty simple. It's your products, making sure that your products themselves are well-designed, have a creative side to them, serving their need, competitive in the marketplace, but also, even possibly more important, or at least as important, that your products are well-developed from a sense of your sales funnel, which just basically means that you have a step-by-step approach to lead people deeper and deeper into your channel, into your funnel. So you have introductory products, low priced, moving on to slightly higher, and that you've thought that through, and how people are going to move from one to the other. So your product strategy is one. The second is your systems strategy. So how are you actually going to deliver these things? What are the online? Usually we deal a lot with online products, information products, and digital products. So how are you going to? What are your computer systems? What are your website systems? Your conversion processes and merchant accounts and all those things. I mean, you have to get that all set up. And how are you capturing people's names and emails? And are you doing that well? Are you? And is that your primary focus? Or are you trying to sell first? And all those things are questions you need to answer from a systems point of view, and then putting those systems into place. So that's the second area. And then the third area is your partners, and basically setting up your partner strategy from the strategy of the relationship, meaning are you doing affiliate and commissions? Are you doing exchange and reciprocation? Are you doing a little of both, et cetera? All the way down to the actual partners themselves, and how do you, work with them? How do you find them, and then how do you work with them? So those are the three key areas to strategize and think through before you start.
Oh, that's such important information, really powerful. So how does someone begin to get partners to build their business?
Yes, the million-dollar question. Because, I mean, we do, management of campaigns, from start to finish. We help with the product strategies quite often. But I'll tell you, the one thing that we almost always do, because everybody wants it, is we work with the partner part, because everybody needs more partners. Even if you have a lot of partners, you still want more, because the partners are really, especially in the beginning, is what's going to make or break your business. It's what generates the sales. So how do you find partners? Well, if you're going to do it yourself, I basically just try to divide things into groups. I try to make it simple, and I'd say there are two places to look. One is in your own market, and one is in other markets. So in your own market means everything from, let's say you're doing a yoga or a fitness video or something like that, and so your own market would be other fitness related other entities, groups, organizations that reach the fitness related user. So that could be distributors of yoga products, it could be websites, it could be that have products, it could be other types of practitioners. It could even be your competition, other people that have the same thing you do. Sometimes you work with your competition. We call it co-opetition. And there are ways to divide up the market so that you don't try to do everything that your competition is doing, so that you can work together and work off of each other, and you're not trying to always compete. And sometimes that's a great strategy, is to leave a piece of the market for your competition if it's not, your best part anyway. A lot of people tend to think, oh, I've got a market, I'm going to try to serve them with everything. And that's sometimes a good approach, but not always. Sometimes you want to work with partners that are competitive and let them have that part of the market. So those are within your market. And then once you've kind of done as much as you can there, because that's your first place to look for partners, then you start looking outside your market. And the best thing to do there is to look at markets that cross over into your market. So, for example, if you're a yoga, if you're doing a yoga or fitness video, for example, you might look at a market that is, let's say, parenting. And so where is the crossover between parenting and fitness? Well, lots of moms and dads want to be fit parents. And so, but they have to do it around their parenting. So, there are a lot of products for, jogging while you have your baby and things like that. So those might be crossovers you hadn't thought of. And so now you're looking not just at fitness websites or partners, but you're looking at parenting partners that might have a little connection to the fitness world. So now you've really doubled sometimes your potential places to look.
Oh, that is really incredible. So do you have some strategy for actually finding partners? I mean, you've given us some really good suggestions already, Christopher, but are there some strategies about how you really go out and search for them?
Nothing too secretive, to be honest. I have people that work for me that I call them my my online web researchers, and they do research into the markets and who's, compiling lists of potential entities, individuals even, anybody that might have access to the people that I want to reach, or the people a client might want to reach. And so, a lot of online searching, sometimes you'll run into a website or a location online that has a directory, and so you kind of hit a little gold vein, and maybe you'll get 20 or 30 just from that one location. And the real challenging part isn't really finding the potential partners. The challenging part is connecting with them and making sure that connection goes somewhere. Because if you find 500 potential partners in your market or in a crossover market, and you send an email to every one of them and nobody likes your email, you've just wasted 500 potential contacts. So the real issue is, how do you approach them? How do you give them value? How do you get them interested in possibly partnering with you? And so we have some strategies. And the main thing I would recommend for that is to make sure you focus on them. Make sure that you're not focusing on yourself and what you want, but how you can help them. That's your first order of business.
That is such an excellent strategy. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, Christopher, once you have all this in place, what are the most important components of an online marketing and product launch campaign? Because you're really an expert in this arena. So can you share that with us?
You mean components from the point of view of the campaign, or components in like how to market?
Online marketing in general, and more specifically product launch campaign marketing. If you have any tips you could share on that, that would be wonderful.
Free association here. Most of the launch campaigns, the product launch campaigns, the way they are now, kind of came out of a couple different areas. One of the areas, and I'm not suggesting this is how they, started, who created them, but kind of how they grew up. And one of the areas was the book business, book publishing. So one of the strategies that's used a lot is one that was developed a lot through the book business, and where we'd have one author who's publishing a book or coming out with a new book, and that author would then go out to a number of different other authors and saying, in the same kind of market, and saying, would you promote for me and tell your audience to go see my website and buy my book. And the thing with that is, if one author has a book about how to be happy, how to find inner peace, and another author has a book about happiness or achieving your dreams, they don't generally find themselves competitive with each other. Even if it's very, very similar material in terms of the purpose of the material, the subject of the material, and that's because people will buy multiple books. I mean, people will buy one author's book, and if they like it, they'll still go out and buy another author's book on the same subject. So there's very little competitiveness, and so that was sort of the fertile ground for this exchange marketing situation to grow, because nobody really felt like it was a big problem to promote somebody else. And so what you do is they would go out to their contacts and say, you promote my book, and then I'll put your book or a free sample or whatever you want, your free offer, on my page, so that when everybody promotes me, they'll also get promoted, you know, from the sharing of all these promotions, right? And so that's the sort of beginning of the, or the growth of the exchange marketing campaign. And there's no money involved, nobody has to pay anything, and everybody kind of wins. It's a win-win-win. So one of the things then, to, one of the components of a marketing campaign is how much you can do that, how much you can set up an exchange with your partners. Can you offer something of value back to them in terms of promoting them? Because one thing I tell people a lot is you'd be surprised, it's people don't realize and sometimes surprised by the idea that your partners are less interested in making money off of you than they are of being promoted from what they're doing with you. In other words, giving them promotion is more valuable than giving them money. And that blows people's minds. They think, well, how's that, you know, they think, well, I, you know, I've got this product. It sells for $200. I'm going to give them $100 every time they sell it. All they have to do is bring 10 people. They make a lot of money. It's so easy, you know, da, da, da. And yet people don't want to do it. And say, how come people don't want to do it? I'm giving them so much money, so much potential, and they can't figure out why nobody wants to do it. And they're not inspired by it. It's like, well, it's because the money is less important than what they can get. People don't want to really make money promoting your product. People want to make money promoting their own product. So, I mean, isn't that true? I mean, just ask, kind of, everybody just needs to ask themselves, wouldn't I rather make money promoting my own product than promoting someone else's? Well, your partners feel the same way. So, if you can give them an opportunity to promote their products and make money by doing so, that's key, very, very key to how you strategize, how you set up your strategy for your campaign. So I'd focus on those couple of things there.
That is such important information, really powerful, Christopher. So, you know, you have inspired so many people with these wonderful launches you've done and the amazing positions you've created on the web. What inspires you?
I'll tell you, it's at the end of the day, I think what really inspires me is ideas. I love seeing ideas manifesting, and I love it when an idea that's a good idea sees the light of day and gets out there. I always have ideas. I remember throughout the years, people talking to people about ideas, and there's a tendency for people to be cautious about sharing their ideas. You know, they feel like the idea is so valuable. I don't want to tell anybody my idea because somebody might steal it. I've never thought that way. I've never had that in my mind. To me, ideas are a dime a dozen, and I've never had a shortage of ideas. You know, there's always something else, you know, over on the horizon that comes up as a brainstorm, you know, that's going to pop into my head. And what's really important is the execution of the idea and can you manifest that idea? And that's the part I really love, is seeing a great idea actually come into, you know, form. And that's what's happening with a lot of these campaigns. I mean, I work with a lot of people who are in the sort of incubation stages of their ideas and their websites and their products and so on. And it's really exciting to see those and participate really in that idea formulation. So.
Oh, fantastic. So with all of this great work you're doing, how do you hope to inspire others?
I think really the ideas and the inspiration behind those ideas, when they come from an inspired place by the people I work with, each of them has something to offer when it comes from there. And when somebody sees their idea manifesting and getting out there and people participating in it and partaking of it, something happens, you know, people get turned on. And that, I think that just in and of itself is helping the planet, you know, turning people on to the excitement of reciprocation, exchanging, giving value for value, and seeing their ideas come to fruition, ideas that are there to help people and fill a need in the market and so on, that's got to be a good thing.
just seeing that the creativity and passion blossoming has got to be wonderful for you with all that you do to help others. So, do you have a favorite tool or a tip that you could share with us for the work that you do in this wild, wonderful web?
A favorite tool or tip? Well, I probably have a few in each of those three areas, the areas of products, systems, and partners. I would probably divide the tools and tips into those three areas. In the products area, I guess I would say, there's so much now available online for packaging products now, particularly information products. I'm not really talking about hard goods or, you know, consumer packaged goods. I'm talking about information products like courses or lessons or books or information marketing. And there's so much available from, you know, online course development tools that just do it for you or walk you through it, that nobody really needs to be intimidated anymore by creating their product. As long as they have the information and the expertise, there are packages out there, dozens of packages out there that will help you turn that into something that's a package. You know? And I have a list of, you know, I have a list of different possibilities that people can use to get started, from online courses to webinars, you know, to book packaging. So that's, I guess that's one in the partner category. As far as systems, wow, there's so much. A lot of people get bogged down in the systems part of it, unless they're really savvy to web systems. This can be a real tricky part. And I guess maybe if I were to give one tip, it would be, be careful. This is going to sound negative. I don't mean it to. Be careful about asking web programmers or web developers to set up your systems, to design your systems. Make sure you get somebody who's really a systems designer to design your systems, because the systems designer is going to be tool independent. They're not going to be dependent on whatever tool they're comfortable with. Whereas a programmer, if you ask a programmer, you know, somebody who's an expert at WordPress, what do you recommend for this? Here's my idea. Here's what I need to do. What do you recommend? They're going to recommend WordPress. You know, if to a person with a hammer, everything looks like a nail. You know, right? So, I've seen it over and over where people get into developing systems because either somebody else they know used this tool, or this is what everybody's using, or because they've asked a programmer who's an expert at that tool what they should do, and of course, that programmer tells them to use that tool. So, try to look for people who are independent of that, that are just designers, systems designers, and know how to maybe structure your system if you feel kind of lost in that area. So that, I guess that would be one tip there. And then in the partners, we kind of talked about the main tips in the partners. I would just repeat, you know, reiterate that the primary tip there is to first approach your partners by giving them something. So that's, you know, making it a value for them.
Oh, that is so unbelievably powerful. And I really love when you were talking about the systems and the idea that you need to have someone who has a broader, more expansive overview of the whole picture as opposed to just a programmer. Not that programmers don't have a wonderful place in our world, but that's really key when you're setting up systems. Thank you so much for sharing that. So
I've seen, well, it's for self-preservation on some levels too, because I've seen so many entrepreneurs get involved in building their systems, and after 6 months or a year, they end up with this, what I call the online contraption. It's this huge quilt, a patchwork of systems connected to other systems, because they started out really without a design that was encompassing everything, and they just had to kind of add to it and patch things on. And it works, but it's delicate, or, you know, there's certain things that they can't do, or data they can't access, or, you know, things like that. Or there are certain processes that are manual that should be automatic, and so it just makes it more difficult.
Yeah, no question. No question. I can relate to that, actually, Christopher.
We all can.
So do you have a success story that you could share with us? It could be either yours or someone that's close to you, because I know you created the forum for so many people to build their own success. So can you share one with us?
Yeah, sure. There have been quite a few that I've been involved in. We did, where to begin? we've done everything from simple book, sort of book launch campaigns. We did a really great campaign. Should I name names? Or?
Well, whatever you'd like, whatever you're comfortable with. If you just want to throw it out as an example and have it nameless, that's fine too. Whatever you got.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. So, we did one book campaign that was an e-book. It was only reciprocation, and it was a simple e-book, small, inexpensive, but we got just a lot of partners in, mostly because this author was very well, kind of well-known and well-loved, and people wanted to help, and that's not always a good thing, when you can do that. And then we had some reciprocation as well. And over the course of a few weeks, we did really well with, I think about 700 or so orders, and even more people kind of joining the mailing list. So we had a split where there was the ability to join the mailing list and just get the partner offers, the bonus gifts, or you could click here and buy the book. So it wasn't we weren't making you buy the book in order to get the gifts, which sometimes you do, but we didn't do that this time. But we found that people, obviously more people got the bonus products than got the book, which is expected, of course. But we had very good numbers on both, and building the mailing list by giving those bonus products was one of the goals, and so it was really great to see that happen over the course of 3 weeks. And then we also do, in fact, more often, we work with organizations that have a little bit more complex launch campaigns that involve payouts, commission payouts to partners. So there's an affiliate management and affiliate tracking component to it, and so we do actually quite a bit of that, and we help sometimes strategize the payout structures and things like that. And we have a tracking system, a whole networked tracking system that we use and offer, because we have partners that we've worked with over and over again, and it's actually easier for the partners to just work through one tracking system to see all their statistics for all their campaigns they participate in, rather than trying to remember all these different affiliate programs they've joined, right? Because usually if you're an active partner in this market, you're doing this over and over again. You're using these techniques and these tools and programs and partnerships to build your business, and you're doing them with strategically with different partners over and over. And so you end up, oftentimes you'll end up joining a lot of different people's affiliates programs, and so you have a lot of different places to log in and see if you've made any money, and oftentimes you don't do it. You're just hoping that the affiliate host is going to tell you if you've made any money. And so we offer a system that kind of puts it all together under one roof, and so that's kind of helpful. And so we've had some great successes with those kinds of campaigns where there's a payout component to it. We had one really big partner with about 150,000 people in the list send out for one of our campaigns, and got a very good response. And it really kind of comes down to, honestly, the how relevant the offer is to the partner's audience. Because a lot of people think, 150,000 names, wow, I'd love to have that partner. But really, it it's more about the relevance than it is about the size of the list. I have a partner that has a list of 20,000, and they're all people who are interested in meditation and spirituality from an India perspective, from a Hindu-influenced perspective. So anything that's sort of meditation-oriented does really, really well with that list. But self-help, you know, pure self-help or prosperity, things that you might think would do well with that list, they don't. They don't do well at all. These people want meditation, you know, and tranquility and things that are not. So it really comes down to the quality of the, you know, the degree of relevance rather than really the size of the list.
So that's such a great point, Christopher. So do you feel that that's something to kind of look at when you're developing partner relationships? Is that one of the things that you kind of assess when you're looking at that?
Absolutely. You assume that the partner is making that evaluation all the time. When somebody comes to them and says, "Hey, we've got this thing, would you be interested in working with us?" The first thing they're going to think is this relevant to my audience? Is this something that I can show them that they'll want to see? Or are they going to look at this and go, "What is this? I'm opting out," you know? Because that's what they don't want, is to lose people because of what they've, you know, been showing them, right? So relevance is probably something that your partner is definitely going to do for you. But if you can go into it already sort of scoping out the relevance ahead of time and look for partners that seem to be the most relevant, yeah, that's a good thing to do, for sure.
Yeah, no question. Well, Christopher, I can't thank you enough for being with us today. This was such valuable information and so rich in content. So thank you so much. If our listeners and readers would like to learn more, where could they find out more about what you're doing?
Well, my company website is launchmoxie.com. It's www.launchmoxie.com. That's probably the best place. There's a way to get in touch with me from the website, info@launchmoxie.com. Couple other things, so that's probably the easiest way.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Dan and Christopher, for being
with us. Thank you. Thank you, Vicki. It was great to share with you.